Foodie Films is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For all things Cage Club related, head on over to cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me. Hey there, foodie fans, and welcome back to another episode of Foodie Films. Of course, this is your host, your chef de cinema cuisine, Kyle Reinfried. What's going on? What's happening? How are you? Are you enjoying my little Mardi Gras, my New Orleans takeover so far? Had a great first episode with Justin Kennedy, GM and head chef of Parkway Bakery and Tavern, a old school New Orleans, just like must visit place. You know, there's so many places to get some great po' boys in New Orleans, but there's something really special about Parkway, and Justin was just an awesome and hospitable guy, so it was really great to sit down and talk with him. So if you didn't listen to that one yet, check it out. You don't have to listen to these in order, but that is just part one of five, and today we have part two with Funky Big Sam. Man, let me tell you, this guy's just one of the coolest guys I've ever met. Got to see him live for the first time back in October, and right away, you know, we talk all about it. We talk about how musicians are just approachable and just so friendly. Everyone's friendly in New Orleans, but just down there, you know, like, you get to see some world-class music, and then you can talk to these guys afterwards. So I went up, I talked with them, grabbed a picture, and I just stayed in contact with them on Instagram, and I reached out to him when I was planning these episodes, and he's like, yeah, for sure, which can't get a better answer than that. So this is a really fun conversation we have. We talk about a lot of stuff. I mean, you're going to hear about it, and you're going to hear about his love of king cake. I can't wait to have some king cake. Actually, right now, so this episode is coming out on the 12th, February 12th. I'm editing this early. I'm recording this early because I won't be coming back till Monday night. That's when I usually send the episodes in, because I was in New Orleans. So I'm sure I had my fill of king cake and crawfish and just enjoying the parades and Mardi Gras. This is a fun, funky, silly episode. We're laughing a lot during this. It was such a pleasure to talk with Big Sam. So here we go. Big Sam of Big Sam's Funky Nation.
Oh, yeah, like I was saying, flew down here for, you know, yeah, pretty dirt cheap, and
$250 for Columbus, though, man.
$250 for Columbus, from, like, you know, like
from Newark.
It's like, I mean, it's, you know, like an 8-hour drive. It's like I should almost drive there, but
I would have
maybe stop at like Pittsburgh along the way or something.
You know, I would have made that drive, because that flight, that's crazy, that's ridiculous.
For, you know,
yeah, you get a rental and gas for cheaper than that. It's like, man, I might as well make this little quick trip right quick, call it a day.
Exactly.
You know.
But yeah, no, I mean, I was, like I said, we met in October, was here with my girlfriend. She's very jealous that I'm down here right now. She couldn't come. But we saw you at, Jazz Playhouse, on Bourbon Street.
Yeah, it's a good time.
It is a good time.
Yeah, man.
So you got, what would you call that? Is that a residency?
I call it Big Sam's Crescent City Connection.
Okay.
You know, and it's a little different than what I do with Funky Nation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I started doing that gig because I wanted to do something when I was at home mostly. Okay. And I have twin boys now. They just turned 3 years old. And I was like, man, I got to find a way to be at home more now instead of being on the road so much. You know,
yeah,
I was hitting the road 200, 250 days out the year. And so I was like, okay, let me find a local gig. Then I was like, okay, let me do something different. I said, let me play So I'm gonna play some trad or some standards and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And that was my intention when I booked this gig. And then, you know, people like yourself started coming through. They were like, no, play this song, play this song. Like, asking for originals, asking for other type of things. And, you know, I mean, you know, I like to give the people what they want. So they wanted Funky Big Sam. They're like, we call you Funky Big Sam for a reason, you know? I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah, it was a fair balance of, yeah, like, you know, your style, yeah, and then just the classics and everything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it, so now what I do, I just mix them all in. And then as far as the solos, like, when you see a Funky Nation show, we, you know, everything is organized, it's formatted. Like, we're going to play this, we're going to sing here, we're going to dance here.
Yeah, you got yourself. Yeah,
exactly,
yeah,
you know? And with Crescent City Connection, you know, we just solo as long as we want. We just stretch it out, you know? We can take a 10-minute solo, we're, yeah, feeling it, you know? Yeah.
And you so, get the you involve, yeah, the crowd.
Exactly.
You when know? I was there, I think it was some woman's birthday or two, yeah, women's birthdays, and you had them come up there.
Exactly. And that's the thing. We like to, you know, engage with the cats in the crowd, man. Yeah. We don't want to just be like, oh, we're just up here, we're doing this, and mm-hmm, you pay attention, and that's it. Now, we want to have fun with everybody, and, you know, we're all one big community. We want to be one happy family together.
Well, what do you think that is about, you know, like, New Orleans? I mean, it's arguably the best music city in the country. I mean, the best food city.
Yeah, man.
I love it. It really is. I mean, you know, New York was always my city. I live in Jersey City now. I have a lot of pride for where I came from. But, yeah, like, down here, there's just something special. And as far as the music goes and the musicians, there's just, you guys have such an approachability.
Yeah.
And on top of, like, just seeming like you have an approachability, once people go up to you,
yeah,
you will talk with them.
Right.
You'll take a picture, you'll chat, you know, just even walking in here and, you, right, know, the guy that works the studio, you know, like, yeah, he's from Jersey City.
Right, right.
You know,
exactly.
You know, like, there's just, like, what do you think that there is about that? Like, do most musicians down here have that?
Yeah, yeah, it's a cultural thing, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, most cats in New York, even back in the day, during the bebop era, you know, New York was known for having this stiffness or stuck upness about it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
And a slight arrogance, you know.
Yeah, up there you had, like, you know, Charlie Parker and
yeah, you know, the cats like turning nose up at you and shit like that. Whereas in New Orleans, you could still have that arrogance, but, you know, we have a lot of love. Not that New York doesn't have a lot of love, people, but I'm just saying that's just kind of like how it comes off. Prime example, like, if you have a jam session in New York City, mm-hmm, you know, I don't know if it's still like this now, but back in the day, this is how it was. You had to, like, sign a sheet of paper and wait your turn to come up and sit in.
Okay, yeah.
In New Orleans, it's like, oh, you got a horn or you play this? Oh, come on up here,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So that right there, that little, something that small goes a long way, and that's how we get down, that's how we live down here, you know?
Yeah.
Like, everybody's very friendly and everybody get along, man. Just one of those cities, you know?
I was at the Mother-in-Law Lounge last night, yeah, and I mean, you know how
exactly
Kermit, you know how Kermit is.
Exactly.
I mean, there were even, like, Urban Mayfield showed, yeah, up and played for a little bit, yep, but there was this one guy. He's wearing a Packers shirt. He's from Wisconsin.
Yeah.
He's got this Toys R Us looking trumpet. Like, it's bright. It's like bright red.
Yeah.
And he goes up, and even at first, him and Kermit actually exchange trumpets, and Kermit's playing the
toy
one
trumpet.
Yeah,
nice.
And but this guy, you should have seen Kermit's face. Like, his eyes went, like, bold. Like,
yeah,
damn, like, this guy, right, from Wisconsin. And right. But even besides how impressive this guy was, just letting him, like, oh, you got,
yeah,
a trumpet? Like,
yeah, like, come on up.
Come on
know?
Up.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, man. Like, I had cats last week, week before, like, just come up to the Playhouse and just, I don't have to know you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you come in and I see you have an axe, I'm like, hey, you want to play something? You know, you got it here. You must want to do something. Come on, yeah, and get something, you know?
When's the moment that you give the kibosh, though?
Well, that's easy. It's like when it's on. Like, here's the thing. So some people have that mentality where they don't know when to stop, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
all you do is you either start playing right over them or you give them a little tap, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, hey. Or you introduce them. Like, hey, give it up for such and such. Well, what's your name again? All right, cool.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. But that, you know, but typically that doesn't happen anymore. Like, cats kind of, like, know not to overstep their boundaries.
Sure.
So they know, okay, if I'm going to sit in there on somebody's gig, don't play too much.
Yeah.
Don't go overboard. Like, play this and then get out the way.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, I guess for those people, especially if, like, you got an instrument in hand.
Yeah.
You know that versus, like, I guess you take a risk with the, you know, if it's someone's birthday. Ooh. On Bourbon Street.
Oh, yeah. That's another story.
A bachelorette party. Or
that's when you'd be like, hey, so then I'll be like, oh, give it up. We stop it. Psh, hey, give it up for, hey, baby. All right, now look, you go ahead on. All right. Yeah, one more time. Y'all get up for it. Some of them still don't want to get off. So then, you know, I have somebody else in the band. I'm like, come on, baby. You got to step on off. Like, come on, you know. We got to get on with the show. Your part is over. So, yeah, it's that kind of thing. you know?
Yeah, man. Yeah. But, you know, hey, today's a good day. The sun is out. Yeah, it's LSU beautiful, man. Won.
Ooh, killed him. I was like, oh, my God. I wasn't worried to begin with. I wasn't worried to begin with until the game started. And when the game started, I was like, oh, shit. Like,
yeah, Clemson struck.
I said, these motherfuckers came to ball. They were, like, on it. And then that second half rolled around. I was like,
yeah, that must have been. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall of that locker room.
Yeah, because it just.
Not that I can understand anything the coach says, but.
This is his voice.
Like Cookie Monster.
Right, you know, Cookie. Every time I hear his voice, man, I just dial out. I'm just like, you would think that, you know, we will all be used to it by now. I'm just not, I'm not used to it yet.
It's a very cliche, like, Bayou Cajun.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
Yeah. It's like from The Water Boy.
Right. I said, man, I wonder how much steroids he used to use back in the day and cigarettes he used to smoke. Like, oh, my God, man.
Just a pack of backwoods a day.
Right, you know. Oh, my God. Yeah, but we pulled it off, man. It was a great win. It was a great game overall, though. Clemson, they played well. Just the second half, we just got the best of them, and we turned it up a notch. You know?
And I know LSU, you know, plays up in Baton Rouge, but just being – you know, I'm not trying to bring up negative things, but the Saints, unfortunately, you know.
Man, the Saints got to get their shit together, man. 3 years in a row.
Three, yeah.
Yeah, we did. They had the Vikings miracle bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
Then they had the Rams, the PI. And this year we really did it to ourselves for the most part.
If any year was more like that, it was this one. But, but big win with LSU, which is just, it's just great to see. I mean, even like I came down here. It was like 5 years ago. Tom Coughlin's. I'm a Giants fan. Tom Coughlin's.
Sorry to hear that, man.
Yeah, exactly. It's,
like,
it's
oh
rough.
My God.
It's rough.
Yeah, I know.
But I mean, we'll see what new coach Joe Judge does. Right. Yeah, we got a good happens. Hashtag Judgment Day from it. So there we go. You know.
Maybe we gotta bring some luck. Exactly. You know.
But it was Tom Coughlin's last year, and it was a great game. I came down here. I mean, it was awesome to see a game in the Superdome.
Yeah.
Awesome seeing Drew Brees play.
Yeah.
And it was Drew Brees and Eli Manning's highest scoring. It was the third highest scoring game of all time in the NFL at the time. And it was 7 touchdown passes by Drew Brees, 6 by Eli Manning.
Right.
It was one of the games that Giants lost in the last like 5 minutes to the Saints. But it was one of those things that my buddies and I were like, oh, whether they win or they lose, let's go back to like the hostel we were staying at, take off our jerseys and go grab something to eat. Then after the game, we were like, oh, we're just so hungry.
Yeah.
And yeah, I've been to other stadiums and, like, you know, especially Dallas, but I mean, they are a division rival, but, like, you know, people bust your balls. But this time, like, we left and everyone was just so super nice here.
Yeah.
And we go to a bar and they're like, oh, like, how amazing was that game? Like, let me buy you a drink. I'm like, okay. Like, and I don't think it was out of, like, sympathy. Even if it was, it's still a very nice gesture.
Right. Yeah.
But it's just something about this city and, like, hospitality that.
That's how we get down, man.
Yeah.
You know, that's how we get down.
Now, what is it? I mean, like, it was probably like a little after we met, started following you on Instagram, and you posted about, I think the place is Bearcat.
Bearcat is the shit.
So, like, what, like, when it comes to food down here, let's talk about the food scene.
Food, man. It's just, I eat so much, bro. It's ridiculous. I went on a diet for a minute. I just got off for like last week. Mm-hmm. I didn't meet my goal yet, but long story short, I used to be 350 pounds.
Wow. Yeah,
and this is around 2008.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got on the scale. It said error. When I got another scale that went up to like 400 some pounds, it said I was 350. Mm-hmm. I said, fuck this shit. I got to lose weight. Anyway, started focusing, doing nothing but eating grilled meats, vegetables, and salads. And I wake up in the morning, work out. And at this time on the road, we were going 250 days out the year. Wake up in the morning, work out. And I was driving mostly. So I was getting up and I was driving us to the next city.
Yeah.
Do sound check. Do the gig, go back to the hotel, work out again, repeat every single day.
I mean, that's got to be tough just because in general, obviously, when you're playing at a place, it's a bar and there's alcohol around.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, it was tough, man. And I wasn't drinking a lot at that time.
Okay.
Like, I was like, look, I got to like not do anything so I can lose this weight.
Yeah.
Had gotten down to 217 and I started seeing pictures. I was like, man, I'm like a crackhead. You know, I was ripped at my six pack and everything, but I was like, I'm doing too much. I said, yeah, let me
find a happy medium.
Right, you know, so my, and I'm 6'2", man, so like my happy weight is like 250.
Yeah, your nickname, you know? Big Sam, isn't an ironic nickname.
I've been Big Sam since I was, I mean, I've been 6'2 with a size 15 shoe since I was 12 years old. You know, so that's, I've been Big Sam like, my whole life.
Yeah.
And,
did that just start from like family calling you Big Sam?
Friends? Yeah, yeah. Friends, you know? Yeah. I mean, because my dad is Big Sam and his dad was Big Sam. But, and now I have twin boys and the first one named Sam.
So you're Big Sam the second and then the
right and so forth. Now, but anyway, so then I did that. So I wanted to stay around 250. My wife got pregnant. We had our boys, and I gained more weight. Got back up to like 291.
Yeah.
So I, you know, recently I just got on a diet and I got down to 260. I wanted to get back down to 250 and started cutting up. But then it's king cake season, man. So exactly. I'm on my third king cake now.
Yeah,
like cake, the whole cake.
And there's just so many different, you know, iterations of king cake. That's like, well, I gotta try their king cake.
Exactly.
It's not like there's just one king cake.
Right now they're all different, man. Yeah. So you gotta try a few of the spots. I'm gonna get back to Bearcat in a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
But as far as the king cakes, like Antoine's is my favorite. You know, just a regular king cake from Antoine's. Dong Fong is pretty good too. They all the way out in the east. Mm-hmm. You gotta pre-order theirs, otherwise you may not get it. You know? If you do, you're a very lucky person. The third one that I just had, this isn't my third favorite, but the one I just had was Heavenly Sweets. And it's like a classic king cake, which is like pretty good too. My fourth one, there's this chick named, she's new, Sharina Smith. Mm-hmm. And she's like making from her house.
Wow.
So I'm going to order hers once I'm done with this cake that I'm on right now. But
work out to eat cake.
Exactly, like, you know.
Yeah.
But going back to Bearcat, man, they have a lot of good things on their menu, especially like a paleo kind of thing, you know.
Okay. Yeah.
So when I was on my diet too, I can go and get the pancakes and the pork chop and I forget what else came on there. But like the pancakes were made from almond flour, and they made it with almond flour, they used cauliflower. It wasn't like bread. It wasn't flour. Yeah. So I was able to eat that, and it was so good.
Just delicious, healthy options.
Yeah, and they have, like, great food in general. So if you want to, like, that's one of my favorite spots here in the city right now. Bearcat Cafe is off their coffee, man.
Yeah.
The cold brew is off the chain. Yeah. I'm like, oh, my God.
All about the cold brew.
For real. Another good spot is called Toast.
Toast?
Yeah, Toast is over on, is that St. Bernard? They have this little intersection right here. It was like three different streets that go into one. Because it's like the Say, where it's like Paris, the Say. Anyway, just a couple of restaurants. It's called Toast.
Okay.
And it's, I want to say it's Gentile though. And it's pretty, oh, man, it's so good, bro.
Do you have like a favorite meal of the day, you know?
No, it's just all so good.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the thing, man.
There's too many options.
There's too many options. I try to tell people. You can even go to, you know, like you went to Parkway, man. I love Parkway.
Yeah,
you know.
Yesterday I had the, what is it called? The Baby Maker Po' Boy. It's not even on the menu. It's an off the menu. It's like something, because Justin, really cool guy, GM and head chef there. And he's like, yeah, you know, like if you say to us, oh, can you put this and that on
and
it?
Like,
we'll
make it.
Yeah. So this was fried oysters, bacon, cheddar cheese, pickles, remoulade, lettuce, tomato.
What?
And
bruh, come on, man.
I know.
Bruh. But you know what I'm saying. It's just like so many options, man.
And also me coming down here, I'm like, I got to make the most of it because I don't get to eat this up north.
You got to get it.
But then I go back and I weigh like 10 more pounds.
Imagine living here, bro. Imagine living here, you dig?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the crazy thing.
At least maybe you could get into some kind of, but the temptation is just always there.
Right,
just
it's there, man.
Yeah.
Even their what you call it is killing. Even just like the fried shrimp and roast beef po' boy.
Yeah.
Like you have all that roast beef gravy just dripping all over the
gravy takes over. Oh, that's what's God. In your blood veins.
Exactly. You bleed gravy. It's so good, man. Yeah. Another favorite spot of mine is called Boucherie.
Yeah, I went there for the first time. You know what? I was it was when the Saints beat the Cowboys this year.
Nice.
And Wendell Pierce.
Yeah.
Who I learned, I think, back from there was that show Somebody Feed Phil. Like, I mean, I know, like, and you're even on. Let's talk. Yeah. We'll talk about Treme.
Yeah.
One of my favorite, honestly, my favorite show of all time.
Nice, nice. Appreciate
and,
it.
And Wendell Pierce, obviously on that, from a relationship with David Simon from The Wire and everything like that. But he was on the this Netflix show, Somebody Feed Phil.
Right.
And they went to Cochon. But when the Saints beat the Cowboys, you know, he posted something about it. And he's in London right now doing Death of a Salesman, like, on the West End. And I just said, oh, congrats, like, you know, like, always rooting for the Saints unless they're playing my Giants or whatever. And I'm like, hey, going down. It was for this October trip where I saw you at the Playhouse.
Yeah.
I said, going down New Orleans, any like new favorite spots? And he's like, not exactly new, but he's, you know, and then he said Bure.
Yeah. And it's so good, bro. And see, Bure is new.
Okay.
Boucherie.
Oh, the Boucherie. Yeah, yeah.
It's the same spot.
Yeah.
Boucherie.
It's almost the same idea as Cochon and the Cochon Butcher, right? Exactly. Like the the restaurant and it's then like the, yeah.
Exactly.
Because
the Bure.
Yeah. They have, I always have to think
about it. I was like, they have the wings and freshly made daiquiris and all that. And it's so good, man.
Yeah.
The kimchi wings, the javel. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Those are so good. Bro. I mean, even over there, Giacomo's is right
Giacomo's
over there.
Giacomo's alligator cheesecake, bro.
Man, that is the end all.
Well, that is it.
I came to New Orleans for the first time six years ago.
Yeah.
7 years ago, maybe this spring. I was on a road trip with my buddy who at the time was a staff photographer for New York Magazine. And he has a bunch of photographer friends. And, you know, he would do a fair amount of food shoots.
Yeah.
And so his one friend was like, oh, I did this shoot at this place, Giacomo's. You got to go there and you got to get the alligator cheesecake. So, like, every time I come, like, I mean, this trip, I don't know if I'm going to be able to, you know, get over there. But it's just like, but it's also something that anytime I bring someone new or someone I know is going, I'm like, that's just like, you go there and, like, just even what I'm doing with these episodes that I'm recording down here, I just try to get, you know, like a taste of the city. And that's a good place to go that you can get a little bit of kind of everything.
Everything, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great spot, man.
I remember going there and there was a bit of a wait, but the owner was outside just doing char-grilled oysters in the middle of the street.
Bro, I love it. I love it. And have you tried, and bro, believe it or not, the Playhouse.
Yeah?
Like the char-grilled oysters at the Playhouse, the gumbo, it's off the chain, bro.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. I mean, you know, like, obviously there's the stereotypes that come along with Bourbon Street, and, you know, some are true.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There are a lot. I mean, just even walking along this morning, you know, everyone was partying last night, and you go there before they start cleaning and washing, and you'll see some funky things, smell some funky things.
Yep, I know.
And, you know, later you hear funky things.
there you go. Love
it. But then you find those, you know, those great spots that, like, it's hard to, you know, screw up a good meal in New Orleans.
Right.
You know, some places will cut some ends on some stuff. You know, you want to go to a specific place for a po' boy or something like that.
Right.
But yeah.
And you go to some other places, man. You got, along the lines of those spots, there's a spot called, it's right by the Royal Sinesa, it's connected, called Revolution.
Okay.
Check it out.
What do they got going on?
Everything. Everything. A little pricey, but they have everything, man.
Yeah.
Another spot, another great steakhouse in the city is called Doris Metropolitan.
Okay.
I went there for the first time maybe some months ago, and it just blew me away. I was like, at the Tomahawk, I was killing the bone, bro. I was like, this shit is so good. And then they have other spots like Tasty Treats, you know. This little spot ducked off right off of, right down the street from me, actually, right off Claiborne.
Okay.
And, man, she cooked up some good food over there, you know?
Right over here, I've been several times at Elizabeth's.
Elizabeth's good. That is Praline good. Bacon.
Bacon, yeah.
Hey, bruh.
Between that, they got good pork chops there.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of they had like a duck confit waffle one time.
Oh, bruh.
But yeah, that praline bacon, that's a must.
That's it. You got to get that.
It's a must.
That's their thing. If you don't get that in you, I don't know what you're doing with your life, you know?
It's great. You know what? And I like, you know, coming down this time, like, almost like coming by yourself, it's okay because you can kind of get like a, you know, like maybe order like half a po' boy somewhere or something like that. But if you come like two people, then you're like, well, let's try some more stuff. And then all of a sudden you got all this food in front of you.
Right.
But like the perfect amount was I came down here and it was like two couples.
Right.
And so like we really just like a little bit of everything became like tapas style. That was just like, let's just order.
Let's get
like,
because
that's the whole thing. You go to a place like that and you look at the menu and you're like, well, what do I do now?
Right.
I want everything.
Right. I want everything.
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 Yeah.
Let's get it.
Now, when it comes to down here and like different neighborhoods, do you find yourself like hanging out more than one? Or is it just like, I mean, because it seems like we're talking, you know, Giacomo's is up, one end, and then we got Elizabeth's down the other.
It depends on how you feel, man, you know, and what you feel like eating. Like, just depending on the kind of vibe that you want at that time. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm born and raised from here. I grew up uptown for the most part in the 12th Ward. And for me, it's just like, I don't live uptown anymore. I live in Gentilly now. So it's like, do I feel like going uptown?
Yeah.
Do I want to go downtown and deal with that? Do I want to go, you know, in the night world? Like, what do I want? Yeah. You know? So if I had to choose somewhere to go today, I don't know. I might I gotta get in my car and see what happens, you know?
Now, what I mean, it is the beginning of, like, crawfish season. Do you have a favorite spot for that? Because I'm trying to think. I wanted to go three-legged dog. That's, like, a go-to spot of mine. But they do it such random times.
There's a spot called... They have a few spots, man. A spot
I've been called, to Bevy Seafood, too.
Yeah. Bevy Seafood is good. Have you been to Schaefer's?
No.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Schaefer's and Mr. Sid's.
Okay.
They're, like, over in Bucktown.
Do they do it every day, or they got, like,
yeah. Every day.
Okay.
Every day, man. And it's so killing. The fixings, the sausage, the garlic, the corn. Mm-hmm. Everything, bro. It's so good.
Schaefer's and Mr.
Yeah.
Sid's?
Yeah.
Okay.
So good.
Yeah. I think that's maybe I'll try and do that.
Yeah.
This evening.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's a season. I'm down here during
right.
it.
Right. Like, you got to get it, man. It's so good. I'll send you a reminder. Yeah. Hey, Kyle, bro, you got to check this out.
Yeah. I might be coming back down in, like, 3 weeks because it's a friend's, like, kind of, like, bachelor party / 30th birthday, and, like, I'm going to see if I can find, like, a cheap flight. Last time I looked, it was, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of a bargain shopper.
Yeah, nice.
but then I've never been down for Jazz Fest, and so
what
I know,
bruh,
I know
Jazz Fest is, and now it's both Thursdays,
so it's like Thursday through
it's
Sunday.
Thursday through Sunday, like
two
weeks.
Yeah,
so
yeah, my buddy and he goes to so much live music. He's like a deadhead, you know.
Put it like
all like jam band kind of stuff, but
put it like this: last year. And it was hard. But last year I had 27 gigs in 13 days.
Damn.
Keep in mind that second Saturday, I had off. I didn't have one gig. I'm like, I mean, how the fuck I get a gig? Like almost every night and multiple gigs every night. But this one Saturday, like not one single gig. And guess what? I stayed my ass at home too. I said, I'm getting my rest. I said, I've been doing this too long to have to, I've been doing it too long to, like, just go out and kill myself if I'm not, you know, not working.
Mm-hmm.
And I have so much more I have to do, you know. And like I said, I got my twin boys now too. I'm like, I'm going to pace myself, hang out with family on this day.
Sure.
And then get back up in the morning. Because that morning I had to play Jazz Fest, Sunday morning. So I was like, get back at it, you know, roll with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I definitely, it's a must.
Yeah, you got to come down, bro. Yeah. You're going to love it. And speaking of bargain, though,
mm-hmm.
when you come down and you get your crawfish, you got to check out different spots, because even like Mr. Sid's and Schaefer's,
mm-hmm.
a credit card, they're going to charge you more money. Cash.
Yeah, I'm a cash
it's
guy.
Gonna be, it's going to be cheaper,
yeah.
like significantly, like cheaper. So you want to spend the cash, because you can at least get an extra pound, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be that much of a
that
difference.
That goes a long way with crawfish.
Yeah, Captain Sal's is like right here. That's a good little spot, too.
Yeah,
Captain
Sal's.
But they charge you so much money. I was so... And they close later than a lot of the crawfish spots. So they close at 8 or 9 o'clock.
Okay.
And one night, bro, I spent $9 a pound on crawfish.
Damn.
And I bought like 6 pounds of crawfish. Just because I wanted it. It was late night. They were the only place still open. I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
Tore it up, though.
You just have the hankering for it.
I was like, God. Yeah.
So you grew up down here?
Yeah, born and raised, man.
What were you eating when you were younger? Who was cooking, you know? What were their staple dishes?
When I was younger, I was eating the same shit, you know, eating burgers, eating, you know, all of the typical cuisine. You know, mm-hmm. you got your red beans and rice with some pork chop or some smoked sausage, fried chicken, cornbread. That was like a staple, you know, gravy and rice, you know, cream corn with pork chops, smothered pork chops, things like that. That was like the norm, you know? Yeah. And back when I was growing up, my grandpa was cooking a lot, you know? And then if he wasn't cooking, my mom was cooking, you know? And my grandma and my grandpa, they weren't together anymore, but when we go by my grandma's house, she was cooking. And so forth. And then my mom was a single mother for the most part, you know? And then she taught me how to cook,
right,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then she met someone and he was able to cook too. So I learned a lot from everybody, man. I was like, I'm getting this in.
Yeah.
So even now I throw down.
Yeah, you know? You're cooking for your boys. And,
yeah, exactly. Where my wife is too. Like, so like now she's like, see, that's another reason I'm off my diet now. Cause she pulls some shit. And now she like cooking like grandma meals every single night. So I'm like.
Yeah, it's not just a family Sunday.
Right.
It's everyday Sunday.
Right, you know, exactly.
Sunday, fun day.
So she would like, you know, she was already cooking like all of the healthy stuff, making sure that we were being healthy. But then she just switched and started making, you know, once again, like smothered pork chop,
mm-hmm.
Collard greens and cornbread. I'm like, bruh, like, what's going on? Wake up in the morning, you got eggs and bacon and pancakes and grits.
I'm the like, whole buffet waiting
I'm
for
like,
you.
Bruh, what's going on? I appreciate it. I ain't complaining, but god damn, like, you know, I was trying to slim down some more, you know, but that, I'm like, oh, well, it is what it is. Must be her way of being like, you know, you're getting a little bit too small, you know, mm-hmm. you know, let's keep you a little plump.
There's so many great places to, you know, see music down here. Do you have like a particular venue that you're like, yeah, this is like, you know,
yeah.
where I really love to play?
Man, like for me, like Blue Knot was my spot.
Yeah.
You know, like I came up like, I pretty much helped like build Blue Knot.
Oh, okay, cool. Know? Yeah, that's one of my favorite spots.
And back in the day, was it Cafe Istanbul? Was that it back in the day? It's been like, it was like two other venues before it was Blue Nile.
When did it become Blue Nile?
Back maybe around like 2000. Ooh, you got me thinking. ooh, it was pre-Katrina though. Like okay. 2003, yeah. 2002, somewhere around there. And then I was doing like every Wednesday over there, like yeah. the playoffs. And that's before I really like got on the road and started touring with Funkin' Nation. Mm-hmm. So, but that's like my spot, man. Yeah. You know, like whenever I perform, I prefer to play there. If I go check somebody out, I go there, you know? Now, if you want to talk about like some of the dive bars too, you know, we have so many killing spots in the city, man.
Yeah.
Like you could, like you went to Kermit's. You see Kermit, you see Urban, and you see, you know, all kind of people popping up. Another good spot is Vaughn's.
Yeah, Vaughn's is right over here.
Yeah, my homeboy Corey Henry plays there every Thursday night,
yeah.
which used to be Kermit's slot when he was over there, but he was playing with Kermit at the
time,
you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, because Kermit now, he's got like Monday, Thursday at his place.
Right.
Thursday used to be at Bullets. That's where I first saw him.
Yeah. And Wednesday, he's doing at his new spot.
Yeah, he's got a new
the
spot.
The juke joint.
Yeah.
Yeah, whereas it's $20 for you.
It's 20. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Kermit said $20 for tourists,
yeah.
free for locals.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, I mean, you want to see Kermit?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Hey, it's worth it, man. Hey. But yeah, but I love all those little spots, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The more intimate, the better. You know,
totally.
And
yeah,
for a while,
you're just in it.
Exactly. You know, and
especially
for a while,
coming from
I was,
an audience perspective.
Yeah. You know, and like I wasn't playing any venues in the city for a while because I was always just traveling so much.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I love playing at the Playhouse so much too on those Wednesdays, man. It's like, it's a Wednesday show. You know, you can come in free and enjoy yourself, have some good food, some mm-hmm. great music, get up and dance. It's different. It's still different. Although I'm holding back a little bit, you know, it's still more energy than they're used to having at that venue.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'd be like, man, am I going to run these people out of here? But people be into it. So I'm like, hey, we're all good, you know?
Yeah, because that's, I mean, Playhouse, I mean, it's right off the lobby of, like, you know,
yeah.
a fancier hotel.
Yeah,
like,
it's right inside the Royal Sonesta.
Yeah.
It's on Bourbon Street.
Yeah.
And it's like, but you don't know that the club is there unless you go in, mm-hmm. you know? And you walk in the hotel, it's like, oh, shit, like, this is Bourbon? All right,
yeah.
cool. And then you come into the club and
It's cool. I mean,
yeah.
you're playing. It's, you know, it's just even going in there. It's just like a different vibe as far as a look because it's got that lounge feel. To
yeah,
it
exactly.
It's just like a dive bar.
Right.
Versus,
exactly.
Versus Blue Nile with the stage.
Right.
You know, like,
right.
Yeah.
Right. So I mean, and I dig it, man. I mean, and I'm looking to some other spots around the city too. And I think all of us are getting like that, man. Like the older we get, the more we just want to play at home and
mm-hmm.
you know still tour and still travel and do your thing, but not be gone as much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and that's like kind of where I am with it, you know. When my boys were born, I ended up leaving town a month later for like two months straight.
Oh, wow.
I was like, oh,
yeah,
man, this, tough. I gotta like figure this out. So the system that we have in place right now is working out pretty good.
I mean, what does it mean to you to be a New Orleans musician, you know?
Everything, man. I mean, it's everything. Like you said earlier, there's not another place in the world that's like New Orleans as far as the music, the food, you know, our culture. The scene is just different, you
yeah,
know.
Just the pride that I just get from
yeah.
everybody. It's just.
And that's what it is. You know, we're very hospitable. you
yeah.
know what I'm saying? We take care of one another. We look out for each other. You know, I mean, I know Philly is the city of brotherly love, but we have a lot of love here in New Orleans too,
yeah.
you dig?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I like it down here too because, let me tell you, last time I was here and I was walking around like in the Bywater here, and there was someone on their porch that had the, you know, like the monkeys, like see no evil, hear me, speak
yeah.
no evil, but for the refs from last year.
right, nice.
So I love that, like, I mean, it's a tribal city, but there's like some fine, you know, there's
yeah.
a fine line of pride in throwing
right.
that shade.
Exactly.
But especially given that situation, it makes
yeah.
sense.
Right.
But I just love that because just like, the city's been through a lot.
Yeah, man.
And
yeah.
By the city, obviously, its residents.
Right.
And I mean, between Katrina, I mean, multiple hurricanes, but Katrina, right. BP oil spill. Right. Yep. I mean, what changes have you seen, good and bad?
Whew.
I know, that's a whole episode of its own.
Opening that door.
Yeah.
The good news is that we're all resilient, you know? Okay. And, you know, those of us that are here, we're not going to let anything take out city. You know what I'm saying? We're going to keep fighting and keep our culture alive. You know, we're not, you know, from the chefs to the musicians to the artists, you know, we're going to keep doing our thing and make sure that you know, New Orleans stays on the map. You know, but then you have those who come to the city because they love the city and they love the vibe. They love all of those things about the city. And then they come here and try to ruin it. They're like, oh, I love that music is going on all hours of the night, you know? Then you move right next to, like, your favorite venue where music is coming from all hours of the night. Then you're like, yeah. Oh, this is too loud. I don't think I want to live here. Like, yeah. Oh, no. And they contact the city and they try to shut music down on the streets and in the venues at a certain time just because you loved it, but now since you're here, you don't want it there. How you going to change what you love so much, you know?
Yeah.
So that's like, the things that main thing that I don't like about, like, that has changed since Katrina.
You know, let me tell you, like, that right there just totally made me, and it reminded me that I said I wanted to get back to it.
Yeah.
But they showed it, I think, really well in the show Tremé. Because there's that Steve Zahn character, and he's got those neighbors next door.
Yeah.
And he's playing, like, bounce music.
Yep.
And
yep. Steve was Davis.
Yeah.
He was Davis. DJ Davis.
Right?
Yep.
Let's talk about, what was that experience like? Like, had you had, like, any, like, on camera?
Yeah.
You know, experience, like, before that? Or?
Oh, no. That was, like, my first, like, on camera kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I was about to talk about just, like, Davis in general, man, because he is a character and Steve Zahn, like, killed it, bro.
He nailed it. He starts giving those tours on Rampart and showing it, and people are like, oh, what's there? You know, and he's just like, well, now it's just a dry cleaners. Right.
Yeah, that's just
it. It's just, yeah.
It's like, we lost this fucking landmark, and we just made that dry cleaners out.
Yeah,
and same studio.
Yeah, and I think for someone that, you know, only visits here, doesn't live here, I mean, again, what I'm trying to do with the guests that I'm having, you know, from New Orleans, I think that the show did a good job of, you had a character that was a chef, you had a character that was a musician, you had a politician, you had a DJ, you know, you had a police officer, you had a lawyer, and it just really... You know, like, people love the show The Wire, again, a David Simon show, and it's a fantastic show. But that's about crime,
right?
And it tells a fantastic story. And even I love how every season, you know, you go from the first season in, like, kind of like the ghetto area, and then the next season is, like, showing at the harbor and that side of crime coming into the city. But
all real things.
Yeah, you know? All real things. But then Tremé, I think, you know, after that. And especially a lot more things coming to light after Katrina, because I think that show started in, like, 2010, I want to say, Tremé.
Yep.
Like, and also, I remember reading this, because I think I started it, like, started watching the first season when the second season started, like, and I caught up.
Right.
And then I remember being bummed hearing that it was getting canceled, but I think the HBO just even had so much respect for the show that, because at that time, you had... Boardwalk Empire even, like, ended because they needed to put all the money towards Game of Thrones.
Right.
They were just like, yeah, they had that big spending show right there. So, but they had, it's just a testament because HBO will just cancel stuff like that.
Right.
But they had such respect for the show and, by comparison, the city that I remember reading articles saying, like, they said to, whether, you know, David Simon specifically or whoever, how many episodes do you need to bring the show to a wrap? So you had, like, three full seasons and then, like, I think a five-episode
four
season.
It was, like, short. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, and I thought, for the most part, besides, I didn't even think about Game of Thrones. I thought, which I love, by the way.
Yeah.
I thought they brought the show to an end because of ratings and mainly because, like, The Wire, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Tremé and David is great, but I think he was... being so sensitive towards our thoughts, you know what I'm saying, like the city of New Orleans, that he didn't really portray, like, a lot of violence, because, like you said, it wasn't about crime specifically, you know?
Yeah.
But a lot of violence and sex and drugs, which is all things that sells, especially on HBO.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and I feel like those components are, like, what made The Wire so killing. Like, yeah, you can show the gang banging and, you know, the cats on the harbor and, you know, all these cats doing it and the politicians being crooked and all that,
mm-hmm.
but those three elements, man, I feel like it may just makes for hot TV, you know, in this day and time.
Sure, yeah.
And, you know, on HBO, I mean, on
Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll.
Exactly, you know. And on Tremaine, they like, they kind of like insinuated a few things. Even when somebody got raped, they kind of like insinuated. Not that I want to see that anybody else, but I'm just saying, it was kind of like they didn't show it, like, on The Wire. What's the scene where somebody, like, they beat somebody's face into, like, a bloody pulp, you know, and they, like, showed it. I was like, wow, this is, like, intense.
Yeah, just real,
you know?
Visceral,
Right,
yeah.
And I feel like that, yeah, I feel like if it had that point, it would have appealed to more people that that weren't interested in music.
Yeah.
You know, but it's still a great show.
It really is, like, yeah, I mean,
it was a great show. I'm very appreciative of it. I'm grateful, man. That show was, like, off the chain and brought a lot of light to the city, you know.
Any particular fond memories from it specifically?
I mean, for me, the part that was fucked up when we was in the studio with Alan and Elvis, and they made it seem like I was sucking up the parts. And it was Wendell fucking up the parts. Until, like, intentionally in the studio. Yeah. I'm like, man, it's over. Let's do this. And they changed it up, and they were like, so we're going to call. I think they did call me out. And it was Wendell, like, fucking around in the studio. Like, I'm like, bro, like, really playing. Like, he was playing for real. Because he was taking lessons with Stafford, you know.
Yeah.
But that show was just a great show. I loved it, man. Wendell's whole image was, especially me at that time, I was a bigger dude, you know. Well, leading up to that, a big dude. I used to wear my blazers with my t-shirts with my Kangos, you know. And that was his image, you know.
Yeah. So he just captured, like, that character just so well.
He killed it, bro. Times people thought that he was me or I was him walking around the street. I'm like, I'm not Wendell. Like, then I look, it's funny because we both went to NOCA. He's ahead of me. He went there for theater.
Yeah.
I went there for, you know, music.
Antoine
Baptiste, that's right. And my music teacher at the time, Clyde Kirk Jr., he used to always ask me, he said, man, do you know Wendell Pierce? And I'm like a 16-year-old kid. I said, no, I don't know Wendell Pierce, you know?
Yeah.
He said, boy, Wendell Pierce went here. He said, boy, Wendell Pierce could be your daddy. And I was like, what? Like, man, look. So later on, years later, I found out who he was.
Yeah.
And then especially once he did that role, and, like, I saw him dressed with the Kango and the blazer, I was like, oh, that's scary. I was like, wow.
Yeah,
but it's cool, though.
Yeah, that was funny. Yeah, that there's, like, I mean, just so many great moments on that show, like, with him. But I think it was maybe the last season, he's then teaching someone on a set of a movie that's, like, playing, like, Kid Ori.
Yeah.
And like, he's just, like, standing there. He's like, how long? He's like, oh, we're shooting tomorrow. He's like, tomorrow? Like, I can't teach you how
to play.
Like. And the guy's just, like, looking off camera while he's
just do this.
Yeah, mimicking it. Yeah, exactly. Right. And then I think it was with Trombone Shorty, they meet a sushi place.
Yeah.
And I love, like, you know, Antoine's, like, reaction. He's just like, no, man, like, put that in, like, you know,
put it in the brain.
He's just like, okay, get this man some tempura.
Right, exactly. You say, hey, he need that cook.
Yeah.
Right.
And he was just like the epitome of just, like, on that stone. Not like Papa was Rolling Stone because he is around, but just like even like on other seasons, all of a sudden, like, another person would come up and be like, hey, dad, and he's just like, oh, hey, you know,
right,
like, when he's out on, like, Mardi Gras day and like, just like running into women on the streets,
right?
And just,
oh,
like,
yeah, all right, baby, yeah,
yeah, oh, that was
right, it's great, man,
yeah,
I miss it, man,
great show.
Yeah, who knows, they might do another one, who knows.
I feel like there is, I mean, a lot of, you know, people are shooting a lot down here, and there are, you know, some, like, you know, TV shows, like, I think I was watching, like, NCIS, like, New Orleans, like, episode on TV the other day, but it's surprising just how many movies there aren't about New Orleans. I feel like, you know, it just is a city that has so much to offer that there should be more stories to tell down here.
Yeah,
but
agree.
Let's talk about Funky Nation. Like, when did you start that up?
I started Funky Nation either 2001 or 2002. It was while I was still playing with Dirty Dozen. So I was like 19 years old.
Yeah, 20. What was that like? I mean, because that's just an ongoing machine, right?
The Dozen had been around, by the time I joined The Dozen, they had already been around about 30 years.
Yeah.
You know? So, and I played with them for 4 years.
Wow.
And, you know, but I started my group while I was still playing with them. And even to back up, when I was 16, but when I was 15, my mom bought me a Dirty Dozen Brass Band album.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man, this is killing. Like, I want to play with this band or a band like this, you know, or start my own band like it. And, you know, 3-4 years later, I was playing with that band.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So I had a friend of mine, Stacy, man. She had a sweet 16 birthday party, right? So I'm hanging out, and then, you know, we all go to her room, and I see she has, like, Billie Holiday, Miles Davis, Charlie Parker, John Coltrane, all of the greats. And I'm like, you into jazz? She was like, boy, no, like that's my daddy's CDs. I said, oh. I said, cool. She said, yeah, you play the trumpet. I said, oh, cool. You know, I said, who you play with? She said, Dirty Dozen Brass Band. I said, what?
What? Yeah, exactly. You know? I've gotten in.
You're right. I said, what? I said, where is he? And they're always on tour, but he was home for her birthday party. So she introduced me to him, and I like ditched the party and talked to him for the rest of the night. You know,
yeah.
I said, man, look, y'all ever need a trumpet? I'm 16 years old. I'm like, man, y'all ever need a trombone player? You know, give me a call. You know, he said, all right, dude, I'll let you know. And then around that time, I was playing in school. I was playing in church too.
Okay.
So 3 years later, I'm at Jazzland, which is like the Six Flags here in New Orleans from back in the day when it was here, and I was playing there like on a regular basis. That was like my gig during the day, and I get a call. He's like, hey, Big Sam, it's E.T., man. What's happening? I say, hey, what's happening, man? He said, hey, you ready to go on the road? I said, what? I said, yeah, you ready to go on the road? I said, yeah. He said, all right, cool. I said, for how long? He said, about 3 months. I said, oh.
Oh.
I said, all right, 3 months. I said, okay, when we leave? He said, tomorrow. I said, tomorrow?
I got lots of people.
I said, let me call my mom and make sure it's okay. So I called my mom. It was cool, and the rest is history, man. So I left Jazzland, went home and just packed a bunch of clothes and met them in the morning. And like we drove from New Orleans to like Long Island.
Wow.
And I was like, oh my God. And then after that, like that following month, it was a gig with Widespread Panic in Keystone, Colorado. And I was like, this is crazy. And it was us, Stanley Jordan, and Widespread Panic. And like nobody was out there. It was just empty. Just empty field in the mountains. I'm like, why the fuck are we here? You know? I didn't know music was that at the time, you know?
Yeah,
I had no idea.
Yeah.
And man, by the time you know, we had rehearsals, and this is back when like Mikey was still playing guitar with Panic and Sonny, everybody, all the cats. And we rehearsed, you know, their Superstition and all that stuff. Gilded Splinters, cool. And Showtime came around, 20,000 people out there.
Wow.
I was like, what? So what? What is this? Like, I'm thinking, you know, clubs, a little festival here and there, but this is like, this is this band's show.
Yeah.
And 20,000 people. I was like, God damn. So that like changed everything for me right there. I said, this is incredible. I didn't know, you know, music would bring these many people together at this point, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that was great, man. But that's when I started Funkin' Nation. And then years later, about 2004, I left Dirty Dozen to pursue Funkin' Nation full time.
Okay. Yeah.
And then I did that, and I just been grinding since then, man. You know, been touring all over, played a lot of big festivals, traveled all over the world, literally, you know. And we just been getting it in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, what comes along with, it was another moment that Antoine Baptiste starts his own band and he's having a bunch of problems.
I'm trying to tell you what's going on. Yeah, I didn't have the problems that he had, but it was the same kind of deal, like you're used to being a side man. Mm-hmm. So all you really got to do is know the music, show up for work on time. That's it. It's easy.
Yeah.
Once you're the boss, you know, you have to be responsible for everybody, make sure everybody's on time, make sure that everything is right the way it's supposed to be, you know. Otherwise, it's your ass that's in hot water, you know.
Yeah.
So, I've just been rolling with it since then, man.
You got 6 full-length albums, right?
Exactly.
Six. I love, I was listening, when I messaged you the other day, I was listening to Songs in the Key of Funk. Yeah. Number one, love the title because I'm a huge Stevie Wonder.
Yeah, thanks,
I've seen
man.
Him a couple of times.
Yeah, Stevie's so bad, bro, still.
Yeah, when I saw him, he was doing songs in the key of Life Tour.
Yeah,
and he was doing like that whole, you know, because that's what double LP,
right?
So his whole tour was that, and then I think he did like an encore with like Superstition, but it was just that album.
Right.
So that was pretty. That was
Stevie's dope, man.
Yeah, but I love the album.
Thanks, man. Thank you.
Yeah. Just like I'm hearing it, I'm listening, I'm hearing a lot of like George Clinton, Morris Day.
All day, man. You know? That's it. Yeah. Like,
who are your influences?
My main influences outside of New Orleans.
Yeah.
You know, stems from George Clinton, P-Funk,
mm-hmm.
Morris Day and the Time.
Yeah. Morris Day and the fucking
Time. Exactly, motherfucking
Time.
Motherfucking Time.
I think that was at the end of like Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. He's like, oh, the best band of all time, right. Morris Day and the motherfucking Time.
You know, the Gap Band, you know, Cameo, Prince, of course. Like all those cats, that's like, that's my shit, man. Like that vibe, that era, that style, that's like where I'm at with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any new musicians that you're just like, Wow, like, you know, just like new on the scene.
Not really. No. Yeah. You talking about like as far as like that?
Like
cats that I know. Yeah, there are a lot of bad motherfuckers coming up right now, man. Yeah. Especially like some phone cats. But as far as like cats that I'm like that I came up listening to and still like loving the hell out of it, those cats are classic. You know.
Yeah.
Like you can't go wrong with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Definitely. You put them on. It's like, is this ever going to get old? It's like. Nah, it's just killing.
Is it Poke Chop that you got the? Is that the one you have the music video for? No, you
It's Poke Chop. Yeah, Poke Chop the music video. So it's like a funk kind of meets bounce kind of vibe.
Yeah,
you know? And we had some fun with that one. It was cool.
Yeah, that's a cool music video. I'll post that. And check that out.
Yeah, originally had
people up north are gonna read that and think it's like poke. Like
right. That's what, and like after I wrote it, and I said Poke Chop one word, and people still like be like. Even when I was loading the video on YouTube, they kept trying to space it. I said, no, Poke Chop is one word.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, even on iTunes, no, it's one word. Poke Chop is really pork chop, but I wanted to be Poke Chop.
Yeah.
Then I did, I said, people going to think, since this pokey thing came about, people going to think it's pokey.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm like, oh, whatever.
I mean, you got a song, Apple Pie.
Apple Pie, that's right.
Perfect.
Think about it.
That's perfect for,
he said, is this a food album?
You must love Apple Pie a lot to write a whole song about Apple
Pie. Because
that's what the song's about, right?
Hey, yes.
Pie, literal pie.
It's about pie.
there's no alternative, you know, meaning or, you know.
It's about pie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cooling on the windowsill.
Yeah.
Tasting that apple pie.
I can smell it. Apple pie is the shit, man.
Yeah.
And we started having an apple pie challenge, and everybody was like, oh, what about this one? I said, that's not quite the apple pie we're talking about, you know? But yeah, it was, apple pie is great. I like that tune. I wrote that tune, man, because I was just like, you know, believe it or not, you know, artists hear complaints from fans sometimes, you know? And one complaint that I would get sometimes, or the only one, is that, oh, Big Sam, he never slows it down a little bit. You know, he's always like in your face, you know? I say, okay, you know what? I'm going to slow it down a little bit for people and, you know, find something for them to groove to. And that's what came out. I mean, I'm like, hey.
Yeah.
I came up with the bass line and the changes first. And then after that, I was like, oh, now I got to find some words to go with this. What is this going to be about? And then that came out. I said, oh, shit, all right, here we go.
Yeah.
So, but it was a great song. I like it. I dig it.
You listen to Apple Pie and eat the Baby Maker Po' Boy.
Exactly. There you go. I love it. Baby Maker Po' Boy. Parkway.
It wouldn't be foodie films if we didn't talk like a couple of like food scenes. Now, do you have any like favorite films that like come to mind? Or?
Yeah, I have a bunch of favorite movies, man, but not for food.
Yeah.
I
mean, you know, you'd be surprised at how many of them just like have like a food scene in them. But,
I mean... this ain't shit for you, know? But you ever seen Do the Right Thing?
Yeah.
And you know...
Do the Right Thing. I mean, that's probably going to be a movie. Sometimes I do even, like, food-specific... That's what it all... Foodie Films started out as food-centric movie podcast.
Yeah.
And then this time last year, I talked to this one guy that supplies... His name's Pat LaFrieda. He's, big-time butcher that supplies to over 1,000 restaurants daily in New York City.
Nice.
And so I was like, what movie do I talk with him? And then I was like, well, why am I... like gonna talk a movie, let me just talk to him about him.
Right.
So that's how these episodes started happening, and I call him First Cut, and it'll be First Cut Big Sam.
Nice.
So like, but there's, I still do movie episodes, so I definitely will like do one on Do the Right Thing. But that is right.
Yeah.
That's
I mean,
that pizza shop.
That pizza, bro. I mean, because all I think is
Danny Aiello just passed away.
I know, you know, and that was sad, man. Because he's in a lot of Spike Lee movies, especially, you know, all those cats.
You're gonna pay now. You're gonna pay on layaway.
Yeah, we know where that.
How much? 30 years. You've been coming in here at least 3 times a day. What are you, a retard? It's $1.50.
Yo, stop. Put some cheese in that motherfucker, man.
Extra cheese is $2.
$2?
Yeah, $2.
Hey, you can forget that shit. Damn,
say you
cheap, man.
Yo, Sal, put some more mozzarella on, motherfucker. Say, 2 slices. Like, oh, man, like, that shit's crazy. Like, the New York piece is pretty good, though, man. I ain't going, you know, I can't hate on it.
Yeah,
you
know? I love Giancarlo Esposito in that movie.
Yeah,
man.
Bro.
Why Are There No Brothers on the Wall?
Yeah, right.
That's, you know, like, I mean, that movie's just so...
goddamn wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, bro.
That movie's just, I mean, it's sad how just like poignant it is still. I mean, just even,
right?
You know?
Like, right.
I mean, even just his last movie, Black Klansman.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's what, why am I blanking on? It's Denzel Washington's son. I'm thinking
of
his first name. David?
No. Is it David? No. Isaiah?
He was on that show Ballers on HBO.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Yeah, no, I know. Yeah, yeah, has the beard.
Yeah.
Dark skin. Because he sounds just like his pa.
Yeah.
Bro, like, he would speak sometimes. I'm like, dude, why do you sound like your pa?
But he was so good. He was Black good. Klansman, yeah. Between him and Adam Driver in that movie.
Yeah, yeah. Bro. They were great.
That was
Yeah,
great
I love
movie.
That movie.
Yeah.
But I like a lot of, you know, it. I guess you could call them black movies, but they're just great movies, period. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, especially Spike Lee, man. He's a great, like, director, writer, producer, everything. Mo Better Blues,
yeah.
Great movie.
Oh, so
I Say Do the Right Thing. You have, this isn't Spike, but, like, Coming to America, of course, is a classic.
Man,
you know what I'm saying?
We covered that.
They're working on
they're
a
gonna
sequel.
Make a sequel.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
I hope it's good,
fucking
man.
Serious?
Some, they've been making, like, these comedy sequels. They did one for, like, Dumb and Dumber. They did one for
what?
Zoo. Yeah. That, like, Jim Carrey and, you know, and, oh, God, why am I blanking on his
like,
name?
Recent?
Yeah.
Recently?
Yeah. They did it, like two years ago. It was, like, you know, 15 years after the original, like, more than that. Came out 20 years.
I did not know that.
Jeff Daniels, that's the other. They did, like, Zoolander 2. They did Anchorman 2. Just, like, these, you know, Super Troopers 2. These comedies that are just, like, fantastic, quotable, and then they make the sequels, and they're just, like, kind of like soulless repetitions.
Wow.
You know? So I just really hope Coming to America does something different. I mean, Eddie Murphy.
That's what I'm about to say. Eddie is a monster, man. So I don't see Eddie, but still, I'm just like, Coming to America was so fucking great.
It's so great.
Like, how do you, I heard rumors about some things that it's about, and I'm just like, it can't be about that.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'll say what they said, you know, spoiler alert, maybe not, I don't know, because it's not, you know,
it's
not
factual. It's all rumors.
Right.
This,
so they were saying he was, he has a, long lost child,
I think,
in
I read,
New York
yeah,
City.
Yeah.
Like, he's just not finding out about him, like, what, 20 some years later?
I guess.
Or 30? I'm
yeah,
like,
you know, you're gonna hear that. Yeah, so he went, when he was going to Queens to find his queen,
right? I'm like, he wasn't smashing nobody, he was so stuck on Lisa.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Come on.
I read that she's, I mean, everyone's coming back,
yeah,
yeah. Even James Earl Jones, man,
right? Exactly,
crazy.
Right. Bro, that is sick, bro.
Yeah,
but I mean, but I'll say this, the way he redid Dolemite. Or like
Dolemite, and then just his recent SNL appearance with
SNL
Lizzo.
Shit was so killing.
Yeah,
I say, man, I've been waiting on that for like forever, and then he's someone who's gonna come back and do a stand up too.
I hope so.
No, he was a few years ago. He was like, nah, I kind of like where I left it off at. You know, I mean, I'm a huge Eddie Murphy fan. He's like, I kind of like where I left it off at. You know, I feel like I left out at the top of my game. I'm good. I'm just leave it there. But now,
you know, he's gotta like have an itch that he's gotta be.
Yeah,
and there's so much to talk about.
Yeah, and they're throwing that money in his face too. I'm sure.
Well, that too. I mean, even you know, but Dave Chappelle famously left Chappelle's Show when they offered him an insane amount of money. But you know, he's back now too.
Right.
He did like two. They released two specials on the same day on Netflix.
Right.
You know, now with Netflix and all those, you know, like they're just throwing money around and they just want that content.
Yeah.
And hopefully, you know.
Like saying out loud, they were like, oh, this is 3/4 of Netflix budget right here.
Exactly, yeah. What was it? Yeah, you had him, you had Tracy Morgan, Dave Chappelle.
Right, and Chris Rock.
Chris Rock.
Right.
Yeah.
I was like, psh.
Keenan, then also, you know, he's on the show
right
now.
This shit is
crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Man.
That was just, yeah, I got to see Chris Rock one time. It was Louis C.K. after Sandy hit up north. He did like a relief concert at this like, beautiful venue on Staten Island.
Yeah.
And also, I was like up in the balcony, and all of a sudden I see this guy walk out on stage. I'm like, that looks like Chris. I mean, I know they're good friends, but I'm just like, it just didn't like, you know, the gears were turning, but.
Right.
But
right.
Then all of a sudden I hear him, then he starts talking. I'm like, holy shit, I'm seeing Chris Rock
Chris
right
Rock.
Now.
Nice.
And he did this whole bit, like, man, and he's like, yeah, I live in Jersey now. Like, I don't come to the city anymore.
Right.
He's just like, you know, and they got the, and it was like, I think the New World Trade Center wasn't, like, no one was in it yet, or maybe they were just moving in it.
Yeah.
And he's just like, who's gonna go into that thing? He's like, there's a Starbucks in the bottom of that thing. Like, why would you go into that Starbucks? He's like, you gotta put like the mandatory places to go, like the DMV needs to be in there.
Right,
like, that's
like,
the only
look,
way you're gonna, the, you know,
right,
like, the
that's
people
the only way you're going in there.
And you like, and you just hear that, and you know, hey, sensitive topic, you know, 9/11,
right,
and stuff like that, but comedy is, you know, I always, it's between food and comedy, that's like what, you know,
yeah,
brings people together.
Yeah, real.
You know, like, you need to laugh and you need to eat a good meal and, exactly. like, and just, you know, like, and just have a conversation.
Real.
And that's just, you know, just I think we definitely need it now.
Right. Definitely.
More than ever.
Like Dave Chappelle said during his special, man, which I think a lot of people don't, you know, acknowledge or pay much attention to. At the end of it, he was like, you know, the transgender person that was in the audience was like the person laughing the hardest.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, laugh at yourself, man. Like, don't take yourself so seriously, you know, like, relax. It's cool, you know?
Yeah.
Like, cats so sensitive these days.
So sensitive, and, like, you know, you can always walk up and you can get out.
Right, exactly.
You know, like, I mean, that's not to be, you know, insensitive towards that, but that's just, like,
right.
you go in, I mean, you walking along Frenchman, you walk into a place, you're like, okay, I listen up, you're right. going to walk out. Like, right, it's not exactly. no hard feelings to whoever's right. on stage.
At all.
There's too many things out there to consume, and then also too many different personalities right. and just interests for some, you know, not right. every, you're not going to get everyone to agree.
Exactly. That's real.
But, yeah.
That's real. And, I mean, my thing is, man, it's just like, yeah, whatever. I mean, cats are so sensitive.
It's a different yeah. world. You know, for again, I mean, I asked the heavy question before, what changes have you seen, good and bad?
Yeah.
You know, there is a lot of good out there. But yeah. then also, even when trying to make good changes, there are some bad things too, because, I mean, you know, like, yeah. and that comes with obviously things like the word gentrification. It yeah. is, you know, it's good and it's bad.
Yeah, real.
Because you want a neighborhood to get nicer and right. to have better amenities for people
right.
and to be safer. But if that's also going to push a community out,
exactly, then it's like, well,
what good did that do? It's just right. gonna that problem is just gonna then move somewhere else,
right? Exactly.
We need to, you know,
right?
Just
it's
handle things differently.
Yeah, it's just crazy out here, man. Even like on social media, I don't post a lot of things on social media anymore.
Yeah,
I post my fucking shows.
Yeah,
I might say something silly every once in a while.
I love that picture. Who that artwork? That
yeah, man. Catherine's a beast, man.
Yeah, she, I love that. I want that as a print. That is fucking cool, man.
I didn't know she was gonna do it. I told her. I said, look. I said, I hit her up because I saw her work. This was like
that could be an album cover,
right? You know. Yeah. And she's married to one of my homeboys. You know. And I was like, I said, look. I said, I didn't know you did this. I said, but let's. I said, look. I said, I love your work. I said, so let's do a photo session. We did this maybe like 2 or 3 months ago.
Okay.
I said, now look, I want you to do your thing
to it. Yeah, yeah.
I said, don't just take the pictures. Do it in
artistic license, guys.
Yeah. I said, do your. She said, really? I said, yeah. She said, well, a lot of people don't like when I. Yeah. I said, fuck them people.
I
said, do your thing. That shit is killing. Like, and she like did it. I said, whoa, this shit is so sick.
Yeah.
I said, you killed it.
Yeah, you guys gotta go on Sam's Instagram and check it out.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Please do. Funky Big Sam.
Funky Big Sam, yeah.
That's right. But man, I don't post shit because people are so sensitive. I'm like, and I'm, you know, I'm at the point in my life where I'm not about to sit on social media and debate or argue or go back and forth with somebody about stupid shit. I posted one thing about, this was maybe like a couple of years ago. I said, New Orleans getting out of hand with these bike lanes. Why the fuck I said that shit?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, look, all the bicyclists coming after me. I'm like, I said, look. I don't care about you riding your fucking bikes in the street. You can ride your bikes all you want.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is that when they make these bike lanes, y'all taking up parking spots. Y'all taking up everything. Like, y'all are like not. And then y'all ride the bikes. Y'all not following the rules.
Yeah.
You know, and then you hit my car. Then guess what? You're not insured. Then I got to pay for that. Then everybody else's insurance go up because why? Because we didn't have this incident. Anyway, it goes on and on and on. And they try to, oh, it's time we should sit down and have a meeting. I said, no, I'm good. And I kind of. Like, know where I am with this.
There's certain things you're not, in that situation, you're not going to solve anything by the two of you sitting down and having a conversation. That comes to, like, a level of, like, the street should just be in a better condition because then bike, you know, because then all of a sudden you'll have cyclists saying, like, well, if you just pave a good area of the road for us to ride bikes on, we're fine with that, but everyone driving, like, screw them. But, it's like.
And then they have the blue bikes. I'm sure you've seen them, right? So the blue bikes, they have the blue bikes, and then, so they might have, like, 20 bikes in a row, right?
Mm-hmm.
And instead of putting them possibly on a sidewalk where people can still walk or whatever because you got to pay for these bikes.
Or near a fire hydrant where there's already open space.
Exactly. You know, right. Yeah. They put them in prime parking spots.
Yeah.
So it's like, get this shit out the street and put it on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
Man, whatever. But it's a lot of good. Then, you know, other people came on talking about gentrification and how that's what it is and how you know that's a sign and all this kind of stuff that is coming. And I'm like, fuck all that. Just get the bikes out the street. Like, put them on the sidewalk. If you're going to ride your bike, follow the rules, follow the law, you know? That's all I'm asking. Don't go against traffic. Stay in your lane. I stop at a red light. You stop at a red light. That's it. Y'all want laws, follow it. That's it. But anyway.
I think we're solving a lot of big things here today.
Yeah, you're right. That's it.
Last but not least, got a little fun segment called Gut Instincts. It's just a bunch of questions that whatever comes to you first.
Why did I edit this section?
it's PG questions. Cool. You know, no apple pie question.
Nah, no apple pie. Hey, that's cool.
Favorite fast food?
What kind of fast food?
That's what I'm saying. What, I mean, any, out of it all, yeah. Oh, like, what is your favorite?
Fast food chain?
I mean, yeah, fast food chain.
Fuck. Chick-fil-A. No. What am I getting, right? Come on, man.
Well, you can give me a couple.
God damn.
Yeah, I know. Boy, I didn't think the first question would be down for the count.
That's tough, like, man.
Yeah.
I'm going local. Favorite fast food? Raising Cane's.
Ooh, I've never been there.
You never been to Raising Cane's?
No.
I'm not. Nothing but chicken tenders.
Okay.
Chicken tenders, and they have the sauce that comes with it.
Yeah.
That's it. And and Texas toast.
Okay.
French fries, coleslaw. That's it.
That's.
But I don't even get the coleslaw because I'm not a coleslaw person.
Oh, I love
coleslaw. But, yeah, I can't do it. I try it every month, and I still can't.
Yeah. I love all the salads, potato salad, macaroni salad, coleslaw.
But you will like it, though.
Okay.
You will like it.
I will.
Raising Cane's. Go there on your way out of here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck the you know, crawfish.
Yeah, get you some Raising Cane's.
Go to drink alcohol. You
know, he's an LSU alumni. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, and he started it in Baton Rouge. That was his first location.
Yeah, they got a ton of locations.
They all over now, yeah. Man. They even have some in Vegas now.
Oh wow.
Yeah,
okay.
He's in other countries too. He's getting around.
Well, let's get you up in Jersey City.
Yeah, right. Hey, you might be out there. Who knows? Tide. If you're not in Jersey City, get in Jersey City,
yeah,
bro.
Exactly. go to alcoholic beverage. I know you said you're not drinking beer anymore.
Scotch? Yeah. Scotch now, man. I've been on scotch hard for like the past.
Straight or on the rocks?
Straight, neat.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm on the rocks guy. Big cube.
Yeah. Not for my scotch.
Okay. Just straight, you know what? Yeah, you know what? Bourbon on the rocks, scotch I like.
Yeah.
Neat.
Just.
Yeah.
And I could kill. So, I'm going to say this. Let's go a little bit deep into this. So,
okay.
I got hooked to my scotch. Because I was hanging out by a friend's house, and you know we were already drinking. Like it was St. Patrick's Day, we're like killing bottles of this, you know, Jameson and everything else. Cool.
Yeah.
So they said, "Hey Sam, are you into scotch?" I said, "Well, I never really
yeah,
you know,
not particularly.
But you know, I tried it out. They said, "All right, cool. You gotta have this one. This is great, man." I said, "All right, cool." Gave me a glass. I said, "Oh, this is good." Gave me another one. "Oh, this is good." By the fifth one, I said, "Man, what the fuck is this shit? This shit's killing."
Yeah, yeah.
They were like, "Oh, let me go get you a bottle." So it's Johnny Walker Blue Label.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, exactly. I'm like, "Oh, some, fuck. Yeah. I've seen this in Costco. That's $250 for a bottle."
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, I found my own scotch that I like for the most part. You know, if I'm out and buy, I'll order Chevys or Macallan or, but if you go to Costco, man, they have a, you know, Kirkland's is like Costco brand.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And they have a 12 years aged scotch, and I love it. It's great. And the bottle's like huge.
Good to know. Yeah,
for like $38.
Like, yeah.
And I kill it. I put it in my flask. I go out and I like give myself refills. I'm like, I'm good. And the other day I kind of measured how much I was drinking. I don't know if I should.
Yeah.
You know, publicize all of this. It's like 32 ounces or so.
I mean,
at
that,
least
yeah.
You know, it's a lot.
That's something we said about New Orleans open containers. That, you
yeah,
know, like
right.
To go cups.
Yeah, but it's easy. Just.
I wish.
And you're good.
We've got this block in Jersey City. Street is Newark Ave, and they closed down now, like about like a four block. You know how like Times Square is like all
yeah.
Now, like for residents right. To sit around and everything like that. This like four block area they closed off. I'm like, I really want, like, there's other cities, like I've been to, what was it, Louisville, that they have this, I think it's called like 4th Street Live, that at nighttime they close it off and they ID you to walk into this certain area, certain like square
yeah.
Blocks.
And you can only drink.
And you can drink out and about in that like area. It would be like if open container only existed on Bourbon Street. Or
right.
Something like that.
Right.
You know, but I wish they would do it there, but it's just like, you know, you got problems with them, maybe like the homeless drinking around there, which is just something
right.
That they're not used to up there.
Right.
You know, like
right.
It opens up a hole. But I feel like, you know, because it's closed off and they have tables out and about. It's just
right.
Like, you wish, and you know, you're drinking down here, you can't go into the next place with your drink.
Right.
You finish it and you expect, you know.
And you're good. And that's the problem we have, being from New Orleans, is that we go into places And we try to walk out clubs with our drinks. And they're like, oh, I'm like, what you mean, bro? Oh.
Oh, yeah.
And we, I mean, we really don't think about it. Just because.
Just secondhand, yeah.
Right, we just, we have our drink. Oh, we about to roll. All right, let me get a drink to go. All right, cool.
Yeah.
And we just leave. And it's like, oh, no, we can't actually leave with this drink. Oh, shit. I'm like, you know we have drive-thrus, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's right, y'all. So if you come to New Orleans, you can order, you can get liquor, any kind of alcoholic beverage, and drive. Just don't get caught. They're like, yeah, you can drive and order through the drive-thru, but just don't get caught.
Yeah,
just,
yeah, exactly.
Right. You're good. That's crazy.
Favorite childhood snack?
Honey bun.
Honey bun.
Honey bun, man. Honey buns are like the shit.
Sweet or savory?
Sweet.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Got a sweet tooth?
Yeah, very.
So,
did I tell you about the king cakes earlier?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like any.
We're also
like
talking
cakes.
About savory food, too. Yeah.
But sweet, man. Oh.
Yeah.
Because I go past the savory and I could just do sweet. If I could just do sweet without gaining a ton of weight, I could just do sweet.
Man, I saw, like we were saying, there's just so many different types of even king cake from different places. Right. I saw one, it was Elvis's birthday last week, and Cochon did a Elvis king cake, so it was like peanut butter bacon.
That sounds good.
Yeah,
like I'm not even into like the feelings of my king cakes. You know, I like however you make your king cake.
Yeah,
I want it plain like that. Mm-hmm. You know, with the, you know, the icing and all of that. But that peanut butter and bacon,
peanut butter, bacon, banana. Like that, you know, that's what I like. It was his like famous sandwich he'd always make. It was like white bread, a ton of butter, peanut butter, bacon. And bananas.
That sounds pretty good. I wouldn't be mad at that.
I have this Elvis cookbook called, instead of, what is it? Are you lonesome? It's Are You Hungry Tonight?
Nice. Nice. How to Live Like a King. Yeah. That is tight.
Yeah.
That is tight.
Favorite food city, New Orleans excluded.
Really?
Well, you know, okay. I mean, you can say New Orleans, but then I'll ask you for a second.
New Orleans. And then second.
Second in the,
favorite food city.
Yeah.
Kind of food
you're
we talking
well-traveled,
about?
You're
well-traveled,
man.
That's the thing, man. Like, what kind of food are we talking? Because when we go to places, we don't want New Orleans food.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, you want,
We show up somewhere, we're like, don't give us gumbo. Please, don't give us gumbo. And they still bring it. We're like, we said not anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know what? I'll go on the limit. I'll say like New York.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you have a variety of things to choose from. And you can always find something good, even if it is just a slice of pizza. You know, so New York.
Any favorite international food cities?
Greece.
Greece, yeah. That's,
I love a good gyro already.
Yeah.
And like, it's so good, man.
The lamb there.
Oh, bruh. I like went crazy. Like, every time I've been to Greece, I'm like, give me some lamb. I need my lamb.
The grape leaves.
Let's
always,
go.
Yeah.
Right, man. Oh, my God.
The feta.
But the baklava?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
that's
bruh.
That's next level.
I was like, I've never had a baklava this good in my life.
Yeah.
It was so good, man. Yeah. Then I found a spot here that makes them pretty right. close.
Well, next time you're up in New York, Queens has a big Greek community.
Yeah.
And there's like a really good Greek scene there.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll do it. Because, thanks to Uber Eats now. I just show up in my
you got a deal for this, no delivery fee?
Right, you know. Well, you know, you pay $10 a month now,
yeah.
And then it's free.
Well,
you pay for it, but if you want to order that much anyway, then.
Yeah, if you are,
good
to know.
They waive the service charge.
This episode is sponsored by Uber Eats.
That's right. Feed me, bitch.
Exactly. favorite cuisine?
Ooh. See, next time you ask these questions, you gotta be more specific. You gotta
but I
be like
the I like seeing, you know, the internal like torture.
it's a lot of torture. Oh, you know what? Favorite cuisine, man. Just in case y'all are wondering, in my head, I'm like, are we talking about like at home? Are we talking about out and about? Like the number one thing for me to grab if I'm out somewhere, if I'm traveling, I want pad thai.
Okay, yeah.
You know, I love pad
thai. I mean, the segment's called Gut Instinct. Yeah. It's supposed to be like whatever, just that first thing that pops in your head, so.
But if we're talking about some home-cooked shit, or just like if I had to eat something every day for the rest of my life, red beans and rice, cornbread, with some andouille sausage.
Yeah, just that good comfort food.
Yeah, bro. Like, that's where it's at.
Guilty pleasure food. This time you're a king cake.
Donuts.
Donuts,
I'm like a donut connoisseur.
Yeah.
Just a plain glaze. Just, if it's good, like, hey, Krispy Kreme, no offense, but y'all not even my top 15.
Wow. Yeah. And we have a Krispy Kreme factory in Jersey City. And yeah.
See, nah. Y'all go when it's hot and all that, but it's so airy and so soft and so, man, it's cool. I like it. It's not bad.
It's all right.
But just here in the city alone, man, we have so many other places that's really like so much more killing. Yeah.
And we're not talking beignets. We're talking donuts.
We're talking about fucking donuts. Matter of fact, we had two Krispy Kremes here, and one of them got closed down.
Wow.
Because
the donut game is strong.
Yeah, it's strong, man. It is strong, you know? Yeah. So donuts, like a plain glazed donut. Just so good.
Favorite condiment?
Ketchup, hot sauce.
Ketchup and sauce and...
ketchup and hot sauce together. Yeah. You mix them in. You have some fried catfish or shrimp.
Yeah.
Mix them two together, call it a day.
You guys got a lot of great hot sauces down here.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I always stock up when I come down here.
Yeah, what you get? Crystal?
Yeah.
Crystal's good. Louisiana's good. Tabasco's good, too, but Louisiana and Crystal has a better flavor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to go to the Tabasco. They got that whole, like, where it's, like, made out in, I forget where that is in Louisiana. It's about, like, a three-hour drive from here, I think.
Yeah.
You go there and see the whole...
The whole
operation. Yeah, operation. Nice. That'd be cool. I like
that'd be cool.
Yeah. What's the last thing you ate?
King cake. King cake. Right before I got here, I was like, I'm gonna grab a slice of this king cake before I go.
What would be your last meal?
Ooh. My last meal. Now we're talking about depth. let's see. I'm gonna stick with it, man. Give me my red beans and rice, man. Mm-hmm. My red beans and rice.
Andouille sausage.
Yeah, andouille sausage. I would need all three meats. So I need my andouille sausage, my fried pork chop, and fried chicken.
Yeah, and for dessert, some donuts.
Cornbread. hey, sounds good to me, you know? But like my favorite pie, though, even though I made apple pie, it's pecan pie.
Oh, I love
a good pecan pie, man. So I would have to have a pecan pie a la mode.
You know? Mode. Yeah,
that's how we like our apple pies a la mode.
Yeah.
Hey. That's right.
All right, this is getting too kinky. dine in or dine out?
By myself? Am I? Where am I?
I love the struggle.
It's like,
you know, you're leading a good life you just know of all these options.
That's the thing, you know.
You're living a colorful life of just like all these decadence.
right. It's like, what am I feeling like? What am I doing? Am I doing?
Yeah.
Am I about to play a gig? Am I just chilling for the day? Am I dying out?
Dying out.
Get me home. Yeah, most of the time I'm like, just because I've been traveling since I was 19, you know? So now I'm like, man, just give me my food and I enjoy it at home, you know?
Okay, yeah.
But, you know, I'm a married man, so I know I got to wine and dine my wife. So she wants to eat out, so we go out when she want to eat out. But if not, I'll get some Uber Eats or I'll go pick it up and bring it back home, you know?
Yeah. The happy medium of takeout, the best of both worlds.
Exactly. And we got kids now, so we ain't got time to be going out and do all this.
Sure.
I do not want to go out and eat with them and they scream and they throw food around. I'm like, hey, sit your ass down. Like, we go. But yeah, but if I had a choice every time, for the most part, I would dine out. I'll take it home.
Spirit food. What food best embodies you, your personality?
Pizza.
Pizza,
man. Pizza. I know we're talking about soul food and all that, but man, like, I love a good pizza too. Like, if you give me like a Italian sausage pizza with some black olives and onions.
Yeah.
Psh, game over. That's it. I can eat pizza, honey buns, and a daiquiri all day. It's like, okay.
You're going to the movies. What kind of snack you having?
That's easy, though. That's easy. It's the,
I'm glad I finally hit you with an easy
one. Yeah, that's the easy one. I just got to remember the name of it. The Goobers, the chocolate peanuts.
Oh, yeah.
I eat that all day.
Those are great.
Goobers and like the salted pretzel things.
Oh,
The big ones with the sugar, cinnamon. Yeah, cinnamon pretzels.
The perfect combo of sweet and savory. Yeah.
That's what I'm eating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And last.
And some liquor.
Exactly. Might as well. And last question, what's a great lesson you've learned in food? And I'm going to ask you also a great lesson, because you are a musician, a great lesson you've learned in music as well.
All right. One, as far as food.
Yeah.
Go with your gut. Don't go with anything out of the norm, unless you know what you're getting into. I don't mean to be so vague, but let's say, you know, we're on the road and I travel. You mm-hmm. did. We were like, oh man, let's stop here. Let's stop there, man. I never heard of that spot. But how does it look? It look like it's good?
Yeah.
If it look like it's good and everybody's on the same page, all right, let's go there, you know?
Yeah, it's one of those things like you pass by a Chinese place and you see Chinese people in it, you're like, oh, this must be good.
Exactly, like, you know? So, prime example, a Jamaican spot. Yeah. You know? We would stop at a Jamaican spot. Oh, this shit is golden. It's like a Jamaican fast food joint. Y'all have them.
Enjoy. Golden Corral?
Golden.
Oh, okay.
What Keenan? I need to ask Keenan when he come back. Okay. But it's called Golden Something. And it's so killing, man. They have like all of the meat pies. They have like 20 different flavor of meat pies.
Okay.
So stuff like, you know, we saw that and I was like, that looks good. And he said, yo, that is good, man. Like, we should try it. I said, all right, cool. But yeah, I have to, it's a vibe thing, man. Mm-hmm. You know, I got to check it out. As far as music, you know, I've learned just to, you know, do what you want. You know, stay true to yourself. Don't try to go out your way and please other people, because mm-hmm. you ain't gonna be happy doing that, you know?
Yeah.
Another thing is, you know, I've learned to like not make it feel like a job, because some people try to make it feel like a job.
Yeah.
And once, like, you know, like once it feels like that, it's like, oh, I don't want to do this shit no more, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
for sure.
So, you know, stay true to yourself, be yourself, don't try to compare yourself to other people, do what makes you happy, and just be genuine. You know, and be yourself. You do that and you're all good in this world, in life, period. You know, like, I like to play loud and dance on stage. You know, that's just, it's just me. It's naturally me when I'm performing. And some musicians may or may not like that, but fuck them. This is me. And that's, you know, there are a lot of people who are paying to come to the shows that like it.
Yeah.
And I like it. I love it. So,
To each their own,
you know. Yeah. So I'm not really worried about like what the next person has to say. I'm doing me, and you know, you doing you. That's all you need to worry about. You know, do yourself. You know,
awesome, man.
Yeah,
truer words haven't been spoken.
Yeah, you're right.
I can't thank you enough for coming on.
Anytime, it is
Carnival is Mardi Gras.
It's officially Mardi Gras.
Yeah. Matter of fact, my boys, any traditions?
My boys were born on King's Day.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. So that's when my king kicks off. They were born. I said, oh, we got to go get a king cake.
Yeah.
I have some traditions, man.
Do you make their birthday cake a king cake?
Yeah. Well, we get both. Yeah. We get a king cake, and then we get like a regular birthday cake, too. One of the traditions we have is on Mardi Gras Day. It used to be me and my little brother, but now we have our nephews that are old enough.
Mm-hmm.
We're set up on Lundy Gras, in a spot that we want to be on Mardi Gras Day.
Okay.
Bring the grill out. We have like a whole setup. It's like 50 of us now, you know? And we just throw down, you know?
Awesome.
Just like a lot of other cats in the city, you know? Yeah. We all have our traditions, and, you know, you even get strangers that come on, hey, man, you mind if I get someone? Oh, here you go, you know?
Yeah, you know.
New Orleans, you know, hospitable community. Like that. Exactly, you know? And believe it or not, you get a lot of homeless people that want some too. But you break them out, like, here you go. Yeah. You know, they go talk to you a little bit, and then they're going to say thank you and roll off, you know? Roll out. But yeah, but we do that. We set up. We have our tents and all of that stuff. And we just party all night, man. I think last year, during Mardi Gras, they came out with like Crown Peach.
All right.
This is a guilty pleasure. They came out with Crown Peach, man. And the first day I went to the store, I was just going to get some other liquor for everybody else.
Yeah.
And then I said, Crown Peach. I said, I know they have the apple and vanilla, which I don't care for, whatever. I said, man, that might be good to mix it with someone, maybe by itself, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, all right, cool. I said, well, look, let me get a crown peach and some Hennessy. Got all that, cool. So I get out there and I tried the Crown Peach. It was $10 and it was so good. I said, man, I said, I'm gonna just drink this straight. It was sweet, you know?
I was like, all right, cool. That's when it's dangerous.
It tastes like peach tea with like a hint of whiskey.
Yeah.
That's what it tastes like. So I killed that bottle by myself. So I went back the next day to get it again, and it was $30 the next day. They marked it wrong the first day.
Okay.
I said, okay, I still bought it. And I was
it's good, yeah.
But and it was good. Went back and got another one, let everybody else taste it. It was a good time. But that that's our tradition. We all hook up the night before, set up shop, and we you know, we all partied together the next day.
Want to share where people can find you, social media, and good stuff like that? You touring at all?
Yeah, if you still, we're touring. So, like, you know, I was telling you earlier, my touring is set up a little bit differently now. So what I do, Wednesdays I'll be at the Playhouse in New Orleans, the Jazz Playhouse. Anywhere between Thursday and Sunday, you might catch me on the road somewhere.
All right.
So that's kind of like how I have it set up now. Even if it's just a one-off, I'm going to be somewhere besides New Orleans for the most part, you know? So if you still do the whole website thing, go to BigSamSmokingNation.com. I know a lot of people say, man, my website, musicians, and I'm like, do people really still go to the website? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, you know? I think because of Instagram and then seeing, like, because I'm there and you see the website,
right?
You know, people click on that. Yeah, exactly. Right. Via that way. Yeah.
So we have the website. If you're on Facebook, Big Sam's Funky Nation, like the fan page. If you're on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, holler at your boy at Funky Big Sam, and you know, keep up with it. Oh, also Big Sam's Funky Nation on Instagram. I just started that page because back in the day, it wouldn't let you have a handle that long.
Yeah.
So, I just recently found out somebody tried to steal a page and call it Big Sam Funky Nation.
Oh, shit.
So then I reported that page, and then I started this page. But that page is still out there, I think, but whatever.
All right.
We're all good. You'll see it. You'll see it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we have a little catchphrase to end every episode. It's a saying that actually my grandmother would say at dinner when the plate was getting empty. She'd be like, don't worry, there's more to cut. I feel like that just transcends into life, that there's just more out there,
that's more to cut.
So if you don't mind telling the foodies out there that there's more to cut.
foodies, what's happening with y'all? This is your boy Big Sam. Hey, don't worry about it. There's more to cut, baby.
Awesome.
Yeah, thanks, anyway,
man.
Good time,
right? It was a pleasure.
Is that it?
Yummy, yummy, yummy. I got love in my tummy, and I feel like I'm loving you. Love you such a sweet thing, good enough to eat thing, and it's just a